tear gas and bullets 42 years ago this week at Kent State University. Four students were killed, nine others injured, when Ohio National Guardsmen opened fire during an anti-war protest. Alan Canfora took a bullet through one of his wrists.
So I looked down and I could not believe that I had been shot. It was an unbelievable moment, like a nightmare.
In a sense, he says he's been wounded again. Just before this week's anniversary of the event, the Justice Department sent Canfora a letter denying a request to reopen the case.
The central mystery since 1970 has always been, was there or was there not an order to fire?
A federal civil rights case against the guardsmen was dismissed in 1979. The Justice Department now reveals the FBI destroyed an original reel-to-reel recording of the shooting. But a digitally enhanced review of a copy of those tapes has revived the question. Audio engineer Stuart Allen analyzed the tape for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. He claims the fatal volley was preceded by four shots from an unknown source.
Fourth gunshot, most important, here's the echo from it.
70 seconds later, Stewart says there's a command to fire, followed by 67 gunshots. Listen again.
I don't know about you, but I get chills when I hear that. What do you feel?
What a waste. And hopefully, by bringing the truth out here, this will never, ever happen again.
The Justice Department calls its own review of the words and sounds unintelligible with no consensus. Allen says this isn't about prosecuting anyone in the National Guard.
It's about setting history right.
We're seeking healing, and we're seeking reconciliation.
Canfora and his supporters plan to ask the Justice Department to take another look, meet with Ohio's governor, and take legal action, hoping the mystery surrounding the shootings may one day be solved. Susan Candiotti, CNN, New York.
And I have on the phone with me Laurel Krause from Fort Bragg, whose sister Allison was killed by one of the shots we heard. I know you've watched it, Laurel, and heard that clip from CNN before. Indeed, you've sent me the link to it. How do you feel listening to it once again?
It's always devastating to hear the length of the bullets, the barrage. It's devastating. 13 seconds of 67 shots of live ammunition at unarmed student protesters. My sister was 343 feet away from the people shooting.
You know, I saw a picture in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, a picture I had never seen before of the guardsmen firing and one man standing there with an automatic, and it was clear these people were not under attack, as we were told. It was chilling. I listened to that a number of times, and my hearing is deteriorating as I've gotten older. I can hear the call to fire, the command to fire, and why the government has refused. It's not surprising, but you've been keeping, and your mother's been keeping this case, so your family's been keeping this case open. Tell us about what you've been doing and the response of the family and the efforts that have been made and the team that you've assembled at truthtribunal.org to keep the Kent State issue alive and bring justice and truth to it.
Well, if we cycle back a little bit to Stuart Allen analyzing that tape, you'll hear he talks about that fourth shot at the very beginning of that CNN short. It's a under 3-minute short that's available at CNN. Anyone can go look at it. And it's film footage. He talks about a fourth shot, and that fourth shot is actually very key here because 70 seconds before the command that you heard, and everyone can hear it on that tape, it's very clear, There was also the sound of sniper fire shot by an FBI informant in the crowd. He was there. He was the only civilian with a gun on campus. He handed the gun off to the Kent police immediately after the May 4th massacre. And basically, he has since been protected by the government ever since and continues to work in covert measures. His name is Terry Norman. He lives in South North Carolina in the hill, you know, off-grid on his little mountaintop. And he enjoys security and protection from the U.S. government. And it's our feeling that he actually created the sound of sniper fire so that the guard would then shoot at students and substantiate their reason to shoot. They all pointed to the sound of sniper fire. They were being shot at. Well, they were being shot at over the hill by an FBI agent.
So this was a typical agent provocateur, but it almost seems like the way that, from the body language of the pictures that I've seen of the National Guard firing, that they were in a position to do this, and quite likely the commander was aware in advance that there was going to be this provocation. I should say, in Chicago in 1968, when there was a peaceful meeting going on and people were speaking from the stage at Grant Park in Chicago, someone I knew from Oakland, who I considered to be a police agent, went and lowered the American flag, and I watched him do that, and the police, quote-unquote, arrested him. And,
right.
And then I knew that was going to be a provocation for attack, so I got behind them, and then I saw them push him away to get out of there, and then they attacked the people sitting in the park. So, these kinds of provocations have occurred many times in history, but, of course, in Kent State, this was murder.
People call them false flag.
Yeah.
And false flag was one of the defining moments, you know, at Kent State. It actually it allowed for everything to continue and go as planned. I believe that some of the National Guardsmen on the hill there were very they were privy to what was being planned, and others were not. But they were all handed out their live ammunition, you know, about 15 minutes before the shots. They knew what they were doing. It was planned. It was a very successful program for COINTELPRO, the FBI, and our Justice Department refuses to take a look at it. They're pointing to forensic studies of the tape from 1974. And they also mention in their report to Alan Canforo, who was mentioned in the news clip, and to Dennis Kucinich, who has come out swinging on this. They mentioned that the FBI Cleveland office actually destroyed the original tape in 1979 as soon as the settlement was met. As soon as we settled, we received $15,000 for my sister and a statement of regret. The day after the statement, they then said to us that this was not an apology, one of the high-ranking National Guardsmen. So they've continued to kick us in the shins and tell us to go away, and we're not.
Well, what attracted me or caused me to call you was reading in the AVA of April 25th, which I mentioned earlier in the program, how you received a phone call from the son of one of the person who was in charge of the guns for the Ohio National Guard that day.
Right.
Tell us what happened. What he told
well,
you.
Well, he found me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. And please, everyone, you can go to the Kent State Truth Tribunal on Facebook. Right now, Facebook is limiting my access. But if you share our posts, you really will help us get the word out. Facebook is one of my main methods, as well as Michael Moore. I blog there. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought here.
I asked you about the son.
Oh, the National Guardsman. He contacted me, and after a lot of back and forth, because we were all very concerned about talking to each other and our safety and speaking with each other,
yes, COINTELPRO in the background.
What we're doing.
That's true.
And so basically, we talked, and he let me know that his father was one of the high-ranking officers of the ONG, Ohio National Guard, that he was in charge of actually taking care of the weapons that were fired that day. He arrived at his office the next morning. All the weapons were there that were shot. He took them all out of the office. He assembled them into a shipment of over 10,000 units of weapons from the state of Ohio going to NATO, and they were quickly moved out of the country, never to be found again. He has said with glee and a lot of pumping of chest that no gun that was ever fired at Kent State will ever be found again. And I believe what he said is true. That was the high-ranking Ohio National Guardsman.
And it took a lot of guts for his son to make that phone call. Your appeal on Facebook certainly struck home.
Well, he suffers from post-traumatic stress as much as any of us do. And the Ohio National Guard sons that are out there and daughters, they have, a lot of guilt that they're dealing with, even though their parents may not.
Well, it certainly is kind of a classic case, the disappearance of the rifles as soon as possible reminds me of the shipping out to China and elsewhere of the metal remains of the World Trade Center bombing in 9/11, evidence that should be examined and be available for examination for a number of years, like tapes or rifles or pieces of metal from explosions should be there to be examined. When they get rid of them, you have to be a little bit suspicious.
Well, that is their method. They always get rid of the evidence, and they're continuing to do that. They got rid of the Struby tape, this Kent State tape that was made by a student on his window ledge. He picked up everything, and they got rid of the original, and they admitted it in these letters that they just sent out, 2 weeks ago, which is confounding. For what reason are they admitting that they got rid of the evidence? So what happened is I decided to plead to President Obama about, taking a look at this and going beyond it, doing the right thing and healing this wound. This is a severe wound in a whole generation. They delivered post-traumatic stress from Kent State to all the baby boomers. And still, every baby boomer I ever speak to, everyone always says, I just get so sad about all that. I just feel so powerless. Well, that is how post-traumatic stress works. They delivered it to a whole, generation. So I just decided to write to President Obama again. I've written to him many times. My mother kept after me. She said, please let him know that he has two daughters, that his family is just like ours. My sister Allison and I were the only two children of Arthur and Doris Krause. They took away my sister. She wanted President Obama to be able to relate to that and take it home to him. I haven't heard from him. He hasn't responded. Actually, the letter went viral. I think a lot of people read it. I hope that everyone will. You can go to Google and you can Google Kent State letter to President Obama. It will come up. And I encourage everyone to read it. But since President Obama did not respond, we took it to the next level. And now we have written to The Hague, and we're asking for the International Criminal Court to hear the Kent State matter. Obviously, in America, truth and justice just does not matter.
Obviously, it does not matter. And I read that, and you can find that letter to the International Court, Criminal Court in The Hague on Mendo Coast Current.
And also at michaelmoore.com.
At michaelmoore.com. But you blog locally at Mendo Coast Current. Does Michael Moore carry exactly the same information that you blog at Mendo Coast Current?
Oh, yes. Yeah. He is my main conduit, my little blog, It's just organic, and I've been doing that since 2007. It's on safe renewable energy and truth at Kent State. It has, very little readership, but Michael Moore has quite a bit more, and we've been able to benefit from his broadcast because at this point, this is a censored story in America. It has been censored since day one, which brings up another point. We were on Project Censored on May 4th. That's on it's on KPFA.
Yeah.
You can look at the archived version, and I'm circulating that as well. You know, basically, we had a really great show with Stuart Allen, the forensic scientist, me, Dennis Kucinich, and a new eyewitness that came forward who noted a two provocateur mode situations that happened when she was at Kent State that weekend before.
Is it possible? I know you have a team, including the daughter of the great lawyer William Kunstler, Emily Kunstler, working on your Truth Tribunal team, and with Michael Moore. Is there a movie in the offing?
Well, you know, basically, let me give you a little bit of background on Kent State Truth Tribunal. That's our project. We started it in the 40th year. That was 2010. And we held three tribunals, one in Kent, Ohio on May 1, 2, 3, 4. We got about 70 testimonials filmed by filmmaker Emily Kunstler. She's the daughter of William Kunstler, and she created a fabulous film on her father called Disturbing the Universe, William Kunstler, with her sister Sarah. Emily came forward and graciously offered to become co-founder of the Kent State Truth Tribunal. She handled all the filming. We also live-casted on Michael Moore, and we were his first live-cast. So we held three tribunals, one in Kent, one in San Francisco in August, and then one back in New York City. The New York City centerpiece was us filming Stuart Allen. At this time, we have about 70-plus testimonials in the can. We're awaiting funding. If anyone wants to give any help to us, you can go to truthtribunal.org. We have a donation page. This is funded solely by contributions and mostly me. but basically, we're going to be hoping to do something with this footage. Right now, this next 2 weeks, I'm going strongly into getting our funding so that we can move forward and have these move from outside the can and into the public's viewing.
If you haven't guessed by now, my guest is Laurel Krauss, who lives in Fort Bragg, and we're talking about what happened, of course, in Kent State 42 years ago, where four students were killed, one of them who was her sister, Allison. How old was Allison when she was killed?
She was 10 days into her into her 20th year, so she was 19 years old. And we had just visited with her on campus. I had been there that weekend visiting my sister, and we were partying on Kent State campus on April 23rd, which was just after, that was her birthday, it was just after Earth Day. Buckminster Fuller was on campus. He had erected a geodesic dome. It was a beautiful time, and my family came to pick me up to take me back home because I was only 15 years old and had to get back to school. And we had dinner with Allison at a restaurant in town, and that was the last time we ever saw her alive.
Yeah, it must have been very, very difficult.
Well, as a 15-year-old, you just really don't have the tools for these
right,
things.
To handle
and
it.
My parents neither, either. You know, it's just no one came to help us. No one. Actually, some people did. Peter Davies, one of the authors, he wrote The Truth About Kent State. It's the leading book on Kent State. He came to help us, my father specifically, my mother, because we sued the government for the next 10 years. You know, as I mentioned, in the end, we had to settle because the wounded students wanted money to help them with their medical problems. One fellow was in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, Dean Taylor, and there were 9 wounded, 4 dead in Ohio. And basically, we settled it. John Adams also came to help us from the Methodist Church Social Concerns. Some people came, but most people came to us and they said things like, they should have shot more. Straight to our faces.
They should have shot more.
That's America.
Why was Kent State, do you think Kent State was singled out for a particular reason? Or, I mean, we had some strange politics in Ohio over the years. Ohio has been a center.
Well, you know, basically in Ohio, they have the law that allows for the Ohio National Guard to carry live ammunition. And so that worked out really good for them. They were looking at Yale University as well, from what we've been able to, you know, track. But, you know, that was Ivy League and, you know, too many one percenters there. So that didn't work.
Exactly. Too many one percenters. And if one of them got killed, that would upset the whole apple cart, right? Or wounded.
Right. But you see, you know, this was very well planned. They did it with white students at Kent State. Yeah. And then 10 days later, they did Jackson State so that they covered both white and black students, so that they could totally disengage, give post-traumatic stress to a whole generation. It has worked. It has held, and everyone is still dealing with that wound that felt Kent State.
And school children today don't learn about it.
Well, basically when the FBI planned it and executed it and then wrote up the reports about it, you know, they told their side of the story, and it's never, ever been told any other side of the story. You know, their side of the story, the FBI side of the story, is what you'll find in history books. And it's about the FBI, it's about the Ohio National Guard being under attack, which is complete crap. That there was sniper fire. Well, they created the sniper fire. And so we take a look at their story, and nothing holds water, and they don't want anyone looking at it. This is a linchpin to all the wrongs that have been done in the last 42 years.
You mentioned Dennis Kucinich became involved in supporting. How about some of the other progressive, quote-unquote, members
of
Congress?
Well, we have enough with Dennis Kucinich. He was on Cleveland City Council when Kent State happened.
He was the
youngest city council person, 23 years old, when May 4th, 1970 happened. He immediately mobilized. This has been key to him. We don't need anyone else besides Dennis Kucinich. I don't have to ever worry about him being bought off or coming from the wrong place. He is tried and true. Now he has lost the primary in Ohio. I hope he goes to Washington State. I've suggested to him that I do anything. I've offered to him to do anything possible to help him continue to be a congressman or even president of the United States, because I'm a fan. Dennis Kucinich rocks.
Well, you have a lot of fans. He has a lot of fans in this county too. What about Marcy Kaptur, who defeated him? She had a pretty, compared to other members of Congress, a fairly progressive record. Did she ever get involved in this at all, or would touch it?
No one touches Kent State. It doesn't really help anyone. The only person that I can call the guy in Florida, what's his name? The one that got voted out, the representative in Florida.
Alan Grayson?
Yes. He has spoken repeatedly for Kent State, and he's another one of these politicians that I would trust. There are very few. We're really, not in a good situation, progressives in America. And the reason why we're bringing up this issue with Kent State is we have noticed that the U.S. government is now putting Occupy protesters in the crosshairs. And the reason why they can do that and the way that they're managing Kent State are all intertwined. You see, they will never refer to Kent State as a situation. The government will never, the U.S. government will never refer to Kent State as a murder or homicide situation. They keep pointing to it being civil rights. Well, the civil rights were the least of the things my sister lost that day, along with Jeff Miller, Bill Schroeder, and Sandy Scheuer. They lost their lives that day, and we want the U.S. government to acknowledge that life was lost, not the civil rights. The civil rights was tried. It was settled, but my sister is still dead.
Yeah.
And until the U.S. government acknowledges that they killed dissenters, unarmed protesters in America, on college campus at noon, until they decide to do that, every protester that's out on the street is at risk.
Well, the new National Defense Authorization Act that President Obama signed, which makes America part of the world battlefield and makes off limits any area of legitimate, which should be legitimate protest around a political event, whether it's Republican or Democratic National Convention, anything that is declared a significant event, this can happen. Could happen again.
Well, here's my comment to President Obama. Does he want the baby boomer vote? Does he want us to come out for him again? Because if he wants our vote so bad, well, then he better take a look at Kent State and actually look at this. This was a historic event. People were killed and wounded for the rest of their lives. They have carried horrible wounds. They have health problems forever. And until he decides to acknowledge that the First Amendment rights do not exist in America and actually tried to figure out a way to empower us and give us our rights back, I don't think any baby boomer should vote for him. What are you voting for? Are you voting for more of the same in this police state? Because he's behind it.
Well, the last two guests I've had on my program, William Arkin, who co-authored Top Secret America, and Francis Boyle, who talked about the National Defense Authorization Act, says exactly what you're saying. It's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And actually, things have gotten worse in terms of civil rights under Obama.
Well, Obama continues to sign these things and then pretend like he hasn't. And everyone is like, oh, yeah, but he did a signing statement. Who cares about a signing statement? The fact is he signed those into law. He put his signature on it. He really did it.
He put his signature on. My guest is Laurel Krauss, and this is the time I usually open the phones. If you have some comments or questions for Laurel, the number here, of course, 895-2448. It appears, actually, that the president is counting on people being afraid of Romney, but one of the things that we've talked about on this program is when a Democrat is in the White House, the political movement rolls over, and the anti-war movement mobilizes, or what appears to be mobilizes, around getting a Democrat reelected president. And it appears that that's what Obama's counting on. And as people have said, a number of people who otherwise think straight get mesmerized by Obama and believe, well, give him another chance in 4 years, then when he doesn't have to run for re-election. But how many times do we have to hear that? I mean, the laws are already in the books, and we talked about that. And this is, Kent State is important for this reason. I mean, to recognize this crime committed, but as you mentioned, because it set a precedent, and the fact that the government has been able to bury it, and the media has been able to bury it. I was happy to see the CNN report. Was there? What about other reports? You must have scanned on the anniversary of the murder, the massacre. How else did you see the press recovering this?
Well, we had that fabulous show on Project Censored on KPFA,
yeah,
and I encourage everyone to go see that. And they're going to be doing an extensive series with us. They decided on that show, we're going to be doing interviews with Stuart Allen. I'd also like to talk about the Kent State Truth Tribunal, and there was this phenomenal eyewitness that came forward who I've never heard before. She was mesmerizing and talking about what she wanted, what she experienced at May 4th, 1970. And so we're going to be doing that, and I'm we're also going to be part of the Project Censored book for 2012. But I really want to go back to who was behind Kent State, because this is where I've been really focusing my energy, just, you know, really going into really who called the shots. And it's the same people calling the shots today. Basically, when my sister was on that campus that day, she died for peace. She wanted the war to stop. She was protesting against the Cambodian invasion. She was protesting against the draft. She was also protesting about the military occupation of her campus that day. It was noon. Children, 19 and 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, were changing classes when the National Guard shot on a campus. They had every right to be there. And the only people that really were at risk from that protest is the Department of Defense, the Pentagon. They are running President Obama round the corner each day. He does their everything for them. He never says no to anything the Department of Defense wants. They have a $700 billion budget every year. They don't have to account for a penny. They've never passed an audit. The next audit that they have to prepare for is 2014. It got moved from 2017. I want it to be at the end of this year. How dare we give them that kind of money and they account for nothing while they rule our world?
Well, if you read the small print, because you don't, or I followed online, you have members of Congress are object to any kind of cutting of the military budget, particularly when it affects their territory. We have a first caller. Let's give this caller a chance to talk to you. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeff?
Yes.
Hi, Jeff. It's Cal Winslow.
Oh, hi, Cal. Thanks for calling. Yeah.
And Laura. I don't want to take away anything from anything that you've been saying up until now, but I thought you might be interested just from the sort of historian's point of view and a couple of other things that were interesting at the time. The National Guard units that went onto campus had just come out of the what they call the hole in Cleveland, where they'd been involved in trying to put down a truck driver's wildcat strike that lasted several weeks and was extremely violent with lots of shooting on both sides. And the,
well, not really. The National Guard did not shoot at them.
Well, if I could just, I thought you might be interested in this background.
Yes, in fact, they were federalized.
Should I just not bother?
Go on.
So the National Guard had come out of that kind of a situation. So it was a very tense situation in many ways in Ohio and northeastern Ohio at the time. And I think a second thing that was interesting just in the local area, that when the anti-war movement started spilling over into places like Kent State, you know, there'd been big commotions at Ohio State University, the huge university in Columbus. I think it was an indication of the anti-war movement really going from kind of the mainstream elite to more elite campuses into the more working class campuses of the country, which at a time, you know, connecting to Cleveland, at a time of growing labor unrest, there's a, you know, a labor revolt in the early 1970s, would have been of particular concern to the authorities, because at places like Kent State and Ohio State and so forth, so many of those kids came from these, you know, heavy-duty industrial cities. Ohio was still very industrial at the time. Strong, you know, holds of the old unions and so forth. And so it was a really deepening, I think, of the anti-war movement and the general dissent of the time, and needs to, in part, be just considered that way. And I tried to say I don't disagree. I'm not looking for an argument with anything else that was said, but I think it's important in terms
look
of...
Look at the context.
Trying to understand the times, and then to think of what followed was, you know, I think until the Latino strikes of 2006, the biggest strikes in our history, then followed the shootings at Kent State University. So that's just to say that it's... you know, I totally agree how about the importance of the events, but it's also in terms of looking at that period to see how deep the fractures in society were developing.
Well, thanks for the comment on that. Laurel, anything to say to add to that?
Yes, I learned a lot about the Wildcat strike that was in Cleveland and in the days before, in Akron, actually, because the National Guardsman's son, you know, his father was called out. And so I heard about the insides of this just recently and learned that the National Guard were actually federalized during the Wildcat strike. So they didn't want to take them out of this federalized role. So they just shipped them straight down to Kent State. And this was before the Cambodian invasion was announced.
Hmm.
So it's really important. You can take a look at the sequence of events. They had this planned fully beforehand.
Very, very interesting, and thanks, Cal, for that call. We have another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeff. Jeff Wright on the Mendocino Coast. Hi, Laura.
Yeah.
Hi.
Very good program. I think this is so important. I'm really disturbed with President Obama, and I really think that they need to be called on this, and it is great that Dennis Kucinich and you, Laurel, are continuing to keep a light on this issue. For younger people who didn't experience this, I asked them, what is the difference between Kent State, Jackson State, and Tiananmen Square? And the answer, the simple answer that I give is numbers. It was the government going after students in general and dissenters. And we look at, how terrible China was. Well, we need to look in the mirror when it concerns our own government. And, of course, the famous song, Ohio, written by Neil Young and put out by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young within a few days, which back then was impossible. They didn't have the technology we do today. The two important lines that I'd like to mention, and I know they're painful, Laurel, What if you knew her and found her dead on the ground? How can you run when you know? And I think we need to remember those lines. I suggest to folks, they listen to it, to review it, and those who don't know that song, Ohio, listen to it a few times over. It will really penetrate your soul, and it really gets the point across. Jeff, Laurel, I thank you for all your efforts. Bless you, and keep doing this. It's just so important. Keep the light on. I'm going to leave you go with that.
Thank you for the call.
I have a comment.
Yes.
Neil Young has a performance film coming out next month, at the end of next month. It's a Jonathan Demme performance film. Centerpiece to the film is a new version, new rendition by Neil Young of Ohio. And they have the footage of Kent State, and it is very moving. I got a pre-release on it. I want to actually have that video done just of the Ohio part and send it everywhere, because it really shows this brute force in the middle of the day on a college campus where they came with guns and they shot students.
It is something that I think every parent who has a student in high school in this county should try and get into that teacher's, into their students' hands to show in their history class, and ask their teacher to show it, because as a history teacher myself, I know the lies the textbooks have created. And thanks to all the testing that the governments require students to participate in, teachers to participate in, there's very little time to even teach anything about the Vietnam War itself.
And one of the things related to the Kent State Truth Tribunal that my mom, Doris Krause, who's now 86 and she's still kicking, hallelujah, she actually wanted the history corrected about Kent State. It's a simple matter. It is wrong now. You can go to Wikipedia, but there are still some questions. And in the U.S. or around the world, when it's written about Kent State, you won't find very much truth there.
This is, unfortunately, the propagandists, particularly the ones who are responsible for, who get the jobs to write the textbooks, and the publishers and conglomerates like Pearson, they want to sell these books in 50 states. And so anything that appears to be controversial will be steamrolled into non-controversial.
Well, beyond that, the FBI wrote up all the reports about everything. They have basically said this is what happened. It's a total fabrication.
Well, Laurel, I'm very glad that you are here and doing this in our county, and I'm glad that I contacted you and invited you to be on our program, and keep us posted and on what is going on.
One last thing. The AVA will be having, actually, I think, a couple articles this week. And so do take a look. I think it has, it will have my letter to President Obama along with our letter to The Hague.
And you have truthtribunal.org is your website?
Yes, and anyone can go there and look at the press page, and you can see everything that we've written, as well as you can see some testimonials that we've worked on. We have about 15 there. You can listen to my mom. You can listen to Dean Kaler, Joe Lewis, me. Actually, watch it. It's not just audio. And you can get a taste of what we've been working on for the last couple of years.
And go to michaelmoore.com and find out what's going on day by day, right?
Certainly. I publish a lot there, and I hope to continue.
Well, Laurel, thank you so much for being our guest today on Takes on the World, and keep on keeping on. You're
so
doing a great job.
To be here. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thanks. Take care.